Say good evening to you. It's good to see everyone tonight, and I hope you've had a good day. I was just thinking, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of sickness all around us, serious things that even new things we've not really even heard of maybe, or rare things going on. But I know that there's one that we can take these objects to, and we definitely need to keep that in mind tonight as we go through our study, and then also have our prayer time. Just so much to be in prayer for. Sometimes it feels like when things are maybe going good, you almost feel guilty because you know there's a lot of people going through some hard things. But let's try to remember everyone, each other, uphold each other. And had the privilege to go to Antioch on Monday night and hear Brother Buster Mullins preach some, and wonderful message on how we need rain. And they're actually putting it on Facebook and YouTube both. So if you'd like to listen to him, I urge you to. Brother Buster Mullins, you may have heard of him. He's a solid preacher. What a blessing it is, and just tells it like it is. And so I just wanted to tell you that, and then also learn today and understand that there was one that was saved after the service last night there. So praise the Lord for that. I don't know who, but just praise the Lord for that. And you know, sometimes it might be even seem like it's few and far between, but people are still getting saved. The Lord is still saving people, and I thank Him for that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter number 4. I just want to go through the first six verses tonight with the topic of try the spirits. Try the spirits. That's what John is talking about here. And I think sometimes when you talk about the spiritual realm and things, I'm very interested in that because I know that's where our battle is. It's the unseen world. And so sometimes the things we don't see are maybe in the back of our mind, or we're not focusing on it like the things that we see in front of us. But you know, it's something that we need to be aware of. It is continually taking place, just like what we see in the physical realm is taking place. I was thinking about maybe some illustrations for that. Has anybody ever had something stolen from them? That's hard, isn't it? That's a hard thing. I was thinking about a couple of different analogies from it. That betrayal, or that lack of trust, or that loss of trust that you feel, sometimes it's just a mistake. Maybe it's something simple, you know, just as a simple mistake. And I remember this week just going to my office, and I had some things on my desk, had things set up, you know, and I went back in there after a couple of days, and those things were gone. And I was like, who took my stuff? You know, maybe it's not what it seems. But, you know, there for a while, there's this feeling of betrayal. And where my mind went with this was, you know, without me thinking about it, without me knowing, somebody went into my space, took something that belonged to me, and left with it. And I didn't even know it. You know, that's kind of a feeling of betrayal. And then there's times and cases and that sorted out, and it wasn't what I thought it was. It's just a misunderstanding. All good to go. Now you think about your home. If someone breaks into your home and steals something. See, most often, for the most part, not always, but most often, a thief or a person would try to come when you're not there, so they could take it by disguise. So you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't be there to try to push back or protect your things. Somebody just come in and take it without you knowing. Try to get in and get out before you realize. And you might find out who that person is by investigation later on or something, and you might not. You know, if you find out who did it, then you know who to look after. From that day forward, you're like, that person's marked. Watch them. They'll steal your stuff. But you know, if you don't know, if that person's never caught, you would spend the rest of your days, the rest of the time that you're thinking about it, always wondering, who did that? Who did that to me? And I really want us to think about that, or use that, when we're talking about the spiritual world. When you're talking about the spirit of Antichrist, that is his goal. He's not trying to come at us with a manner, just how Satan works, with a manner of, I'm here to steal your stuff. I'm here to rob your joy. I'm here to deceive you. I'm here to cause you to not trust on Jesus. He doesn't do it like that. He tries to do it in deceptive ways. And that's what you're going to see with the Antichrist. And tonight, in talking about these verses, try the spirit, that's what John is talking about. I think a lot of times when I think about trying the Spirit, sometimes somebody will say, have you ever heard this preacher or have you ever heard this speaker? Most often, sometimes at a church, but sometimes if you know the church in the background, you might have a little bit more confidence in a situation. But sometimes on YouTube or things like that, somebody say, have you heard this thing? I remember during COVID, I was getting just inundated with little URL codes. You've got to hear this guy, what he's talking about. And you would listen, and most often those things didn't come to be. And then there were times they were just talking about things that they thought were going to happen, and other times it was people who were claiming to be prophets. I know something you don't know, and you need to hear this. And so you'd listen to that. People, I received so much of those things, and later people say, what did you think about that? What did you think about that? People wanted a response. So it wasn't something you could just kind of just let go. You had to listen to it because they're wanting your take on it. And so often it was just things that were posed as a question, or there was really no doctrine taught. There's really no Bible taught. There might be a mention of a verse, or might be just enough to catch a person's attention that you would think maybe this person truly is trying to give you end time prophecy. Not that they're a prophet, or not that they know anything that anybody else wouldn't know, but that maybe there's something there and you wanted to listen through that. And almost 100% of the time, it was not so. I think about it like this too. You think about the Antichrist, and again tonight talking about false teachers. We talked about that, and I guess it was Sunday. But you know, there's a difference between a false teacher and someone who misspeaks. There's a difference. I've heard people say things and they misspoke. I've heard people study out something to a point that they honestly thought they were delivering something right to you, doctrinally sound. And by maybe the verses that they had, it could be perceived that way. But when you look at the Bible in its entirety, you see other verses that shed more light that, no, it's actually like this. Now, that person could misspeak. That doesn't make them a false prophet, you know, or a false teacher or antichrist. Somebody that is truly praying, somebody that is truly seeking the Lord will help them, teach them, and show them where they messed up, and they can make it right. So when we talk about the Antichrist, when we talk about false prophets, I want us to know this isn't people. These aren't people that are misspeaking by mistake. These are people who are not called of God to preach. That's who's being talked about or called to teach. That's what this is talking about here. That's the difference that we will see. And I wanted to read this in Ephesians 6:12 before we get started, because it goes along with it. And again, it's very common, but we must know this and understand this. Even though we don't see it and focus on it every day, maybe, this is the reality of the world that we live in. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's a lot. Now, that's not something that you see necessarily, that you identify right off sometimes. Again, we're talking about the unseen world, but we have to stand guard and be ready for that. So when you feel something, or when somebody's talking to you, or if you hear something on social media, you hear something on television preaching things, it pays to slow down and listen. Just because somebody says they have something in front of them that they call a Bible, or that they perceive maybe that they're trying to portray that they're teaching and preaching the doctrine or the truths of the Bible, you can't always trust that. Just because it looks like it doesn't mean that's what it is. And I know that sounds elementary, but I'm telling you, we need to hear that. It's something for us to think about. But again, 1 John chapter number 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are not of the world, therefore they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So again, tonight, try the spirits. We see here in verse 1 what he's talking about. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not everything that you hear. It's an interesting thing, what we'll see as you come through here, and I think about it. Sometimes people, most often, a lot of times, preachers or teachers, what you might see on TV, and you're just trying to say, hey, what is this? I've never heard this person before. I don't know if they're real or not. I don't know if they're genuine or not. I don't know if they're using a King James Bible or not. I don't know anything about them. So you're starting fresh and new with them. You know, what you will hear, a lot of times people will use the name Jesus. You'll hear that a lot. You think, okay. We're not talking about a different religion. We're talking about Jesus. And it might not be the Jesus that you and I know. A lot of people will use his name that does not know him, that do not know him. I found that out. A lot of people will say he was a prophet, a good person, he was somebody else, but they don't proclaim him to be the Son of God. That's more common than what you would realize. And I think sometimes what these false prophets do pretty much skate around that the whole way, and they don't mention Jesus. I'll just get around and talk about things in the Bible that will make people feel good. And so you're not really nailing anything down. I think if you were to be listening to someone, again, trying the spirits, and if you were to be listening to someone trying to figure out if this person is the real deal or not, listen a few times. If the gospel doesn't come out very soon, something is wrong. If they're not professing who Jesus is, if they're not telling a person how to be saved, when they say, have you accepted Christ, then they don't tell you how to do that. They don't tell you why to do that. They don't tell you who Jesus is. There's a problem. There's a big problem. You know, people, and I'm not telling you anything probably that you really don't know, but you know, there's people that do this just for money. It's an entertainment thing to them. I mean, you look at the music and a lot of things that go into it, it's more of a presentation. It's more of a program. It's really entertainment. When you really truly think about the Spirit, it is a beautiful and a powerful thing. And I was really, there's things that me and Brandy and Josh do, if there's something we like or we get excited about at home. Maybe it's a movie that we like or just excitement. I know me and Josh, we got to watch Carolina and Duke play one time. Now that was exciting in the flesh. There's nothing spiritual about it. Nothing. But there's times when your team is up and is winning, or you're enjoying something that you like, and what we'll do at home, if it's something that we know each other like, we'll hold up our arm and we'll look like that. You know what we're doing? Watching the hair raise up on our arm. Like, man, goosebumps. That's exciting. But you know, that has nothing to do with the Spirit. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Excited about a team winning. Excited about something else. You know, that has nothing to do with God. Nothing. That's a reaction that the body has, a physical reaction that the body has on something that the body gets excited about. That's what that is. Now, if you try to fabricate something like that, you can play music that works on the senses. You can change the lights around. You can do things and you can speak in a certain way. And, you know, I know there's people that can move people to tears. I know there's people that can move people to laughter. And it's like, man, that's a good speaker. Well, that might be the case, but that doesn't mean that the Spirit is in 1,000 miles of that place. Just because they felt something in the flesh. You see, when you're talking about false teachings, false prophets, that's exactly who they appeal to, the flesh, or what they appeal to, the flesh. You think about the mega churches, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything, no, nothing like that. But let's just be honest. When you look at it, you see all of these churches, or the churches you see on TV, it's like Colosseums filled. Well, then why is our church not that same way? Well, you don't have this big speaker. That's the flesh. Where you're not having this big music group in here. That's the flesh. What about the Spirit? The Spirit is the one who does the saving. When you move something, you know, I have been in services or been places, again, potentially, really, be honest with you, trying the spirits to see people get energized about some things sometimes. And, okay, I want to go experience it for myself to see what it's like. And I've gone and I've been and I've felt things in the flesh, like this excitement, like going to a ball game. But it's not like the excitement of going to church. It's different. I've seen, and again, not being callous or making fun, I've seen people do all the praise and worship things, and I'm not taken away from that at all. If it's real, it's real, and I stand for it. But I've seen people all into it, Brother Norman, and I'm like, why am I not feeling this? Why are they into it? Is there something wrong with me? Why am I not feeling that? But I'll tell you this. There's been times I've been in services, local churches. A person didn't even have to move or do anything, and I could feel it. Brother Rodney, I knew something was going on. And I'm telling you, you could see it move through the congregation. The hair standing up on the back of my neck right now, I'm being honest with you. I mean, that's what it's like. I remember services. Preacher Carl, when he said it in our church at Mountaindale, he sat up front, and I remember times you could feel it, even as a young Christian. There was no music sometimes. There was no preaching or teaching at that instant sometimes, but you could just feel something. And I've seen Preacher Carl fold up his Bible, set it down, and just start shaking hands and hugging necks. That wasn't fabricated, Miss Jan. You could feel that. And I knew what that was. That there was no energizing of the flesh. The flesh was dead. The flesh was out of the ball game. It was all on the inside. And I remember my young friends. We would go through and have times of fellowship. And I remember how real and how precious that was. And just thinking about how that is. And it's like, you know, there was no movement of the flesh there. There was no pride. Matter of fact, pride, you could tell, is a lot of humility. Pride was out the door. It was people just loving each other and being together with each other. I'm thinking, now that is what it's about. Seeing some of these things here, talking about trying the spirits, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. My take between the difference between a false prophet and someone who thinks they're doing right is the one who thinks they're doing right and wants to do right, God will get them right. God will lead them on the right path. Because the Bible is of no private interpretation. If a person with an open heart opens God's word with an open mind and heart and asks God to show them, they will. But a false prophet says, I'm going to do this the way I want to do it for my own personal gain. And I think really by the time a person gets into that type of attitude or that type of way, they're being controlled of the devil. Now you look at it and think about this. Would we not see and believe that God has a hierarchy? That he has an order to things? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You think about the cherubims, you think about the angels, you think about the organization and order that God put into creation. So he has his order. We would agree with that. Likewise, you got to understand and think Satan also has his order. He's got his objectives. He's got his plans where God is wanting to reach out to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead us to repentance, to lead us to salvation. Satan wants to do the absolute opposite. Now, if Satan comes to us and throws the spiritual realm at us, it would scare us to death. We would know we can't know. We can't do that. But he doesn't do it that way. He likes to imitate. He sees what God receives, the worship he receives, and he wants to replicate that for his own glory, for his own self. So the best thing he can do, you think about if you admired somebody, what do they say about that? If you really look up to somebody, what do they say? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. I want to be like that person. I want to dress like they do. I want to talk like they do. I want to be known like they're known. I want things to be that way. Well, see, that's what Satan is doing in the opposite manner. You see, you think about these things, these events, or mega churches. And again, I'm not trying to just pick on anybody, but that's what comes to my mind because I see what I see there. A lot of these mega churches, you normally don't see people in suits anymore. That's kind of a thing of the past. That's archaic. They make fun of our Bible because of the old English language. That's archaic. That's old. You need to be smart. See, right now, the way things are placed in is through education or intellect, just that you're this high society type person. And if you've not moved into this new 21st century, if you've not moved on into it, you're just an old archaic something. So a lot of what you see on TV today is people who don't look like preachers that you see here around here. Would you not agree? A lot of times it's all dressed up. I mean, suits are a thing of the past. It's like cool and hip. We're going to try to appeal to a certain group of people. So we're going to dress like they do. So when they come in, we all look just the same. We're going to have hairstyles like they do, or we're going to just do things the way they do it. I've seen just real long hair and all this kind of stuff. Not going to argue the point, but you see what I'm saying. But what does that appeal to? The flesh. If you're trying to look like somebody physically, that's the flesh. That's not spiritually. What I want us to understand tonight also, when you're talking about this, the outside mirrors the inside. If the Lord really deals with you and gets you to a certain place in life, He's the one that does the cleaning up. He's the one that changes that. Again, you know, we're supposed to put on our best, I believe, for church. We're supposed to be who the Lord, we represent God, not the world. The world stands together. The church should stand together. But we're seeing how these things come together here in verse number 2. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, I find that to be a very interesting verse there because, you know, the Jewish people are still seeking their Messiah. You think, well, who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? The Jewish people didn't accept Him as their king. They didn't accept Him as the Messiah. And you see how it is throughout the rest of time. When you go back, and you can read in Matthew a whole lot, but Matthew chapter number 3, when you read about Jesus' baptism, God declared Him His Son in whom He was well pleased when the dove lit on Him. Symbolism of the Holy Spirit, being baptized of the Holy Spirit, and seeing how this comes to be. It says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," a voice from heaven. That was God declaring, "This is My only begotten Son." But many people miss that. A lot of people don't receive that. A lot of people do not accept that. But that's what John is saying right here. You have to accept that. To understand who Jesus is, you go back in Matthew chapter 1. You read about his conception of the Holy Spirit. That's the only one. There's nobody else. Nobody. And if somebody says, "Well, I just don't believe that," then you don't believe He's the Son of God. It's a package. It's a whole deal. When you look at His virgin birth, His sinless life, His death on the cross for our sin. And you look and know also that He raised from the dead to live forever, and we can also share in that with Him. One thing that I thought was really interesting too in Matthew 27:54, after He was crucified, you had the Romans there, non-believers, Catholicism. You had them there at His crucifixion. And you had people seeing what was taking place. Today, we see what takes place as far as what we may learn from God's Word and how that should speak to our heart, speak to our spirit. But I think often about this Roman centurion who was not a believer, and after Jesus died on the cross, Brother Bailey, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That's the words he used. He testified. God testified when he was baptized there in Matthew. Then He was also, when you're talking about His virgin birth, but then also the Roman centurion, a non-believer, recognized Him for who He is. See, that's the Spirit of God. That's the true Spirit. But there's also false spirits out there. It says here in verse number 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, a couple of ways to look at Antichrist, that can mean, anti means instead of or against. Of course, we know the spirit of Antichrist is against Christ. That's what it means. But also the Antichrist is going to come instead of Christ. And that's when people are going to be deceived. When you see that happen right before, right after the tribulation period. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. We can see that and experience that. It doesn't take long. If you start listening, somebody new steps on the scene and starts being real popular, if you'll listen, you'll find out if they're the real deal or not. Brother Archie, it's an amazing thing. I've had people say, you need to really listen to this person. And now you might hear one message that sounds absolutely amazing, and the very next message might be completely the opposite. It's something to really watch out for in talking about trying the spirits. I think about our young people not being deceived, not getting caught up in something. If you ever feel the Holy Spirit, you'll know who the real spirit is. You really know and understand that. Verse number 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, that's a beautiful verse. That's one that we've recognized probably many years, maybe a memory verse. Thinking about who is the greater. You remember, and this is what was fresh on my mind. I was thinking about a good illustration for this, but Brother Buster was preaching along these lines on Monday night about the prophets of Baal and Elijah. He had the 450 prophets there, false prophets. And they did everything. What did they do? Everything under the sun, really, that the flesh would do. They went out, they hooped, they hollered, to no avail. Then they started cutting on themselves. They started crying out. All of that in the flesh, and nothing happened. I tell you, there's a lot of symbolism to me that I see in that. But you think about, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you read this, it would be easy to get disheartened and think, well, how in the world are we going to combat anything like that? If Satan is that organized, he's got that many minions, he's got that many demons, he's got that many spirits against me, how in the world can I stand against that? John tells us plainly, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's saying, stay with the real things. Don't get discouraged. Don't get sidetracked. Don't think that what you hear in the Bible, because you're hearing it just plainly taught, is something old and archaic. God is saying, stay. John here is saying, stay with the real stuff. I've seen things, and I mean, it's just not there. There's something about when the Lord moves in a service in his word through his music that makes all the difference in the whole world. That's when you start seeing people saved. That's when you start seeing real tears. That's when you start seeing the real goosebumps, if you will, the spiritual goosebumps, the things that's on the inside. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And these last two verses here, verse 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They've got their own talk. They've got their own language. I've seen it. I've been the odd man out before in conversations. I don't know if I told this ever before, but a couple of fellas used to work with years ago, and they had this little red Bible. It was a little King James Bible. And he came to me and he said, I know you like the King James Version, Brother Ellsworth. He said, I know you like this. I'm getting ready to throw this away. Do you want it? I said, absolutely I want it. It was a tiny little red hardback New Testament. King James Version. I was like, I hadn't seen one quite like that. I was like, you better believe I'd take it. And he looks over at his friend. He laughs. You know, they joke around with the these and the thous. He started making fun. I was like, no, I'll take it. But you see, it would be easy in this day and time to get around people like that and think, man, am I really in the Stone Ages? Am I really not caught up? Am I really not where I'm supposed to be? I'm telling you not, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't ever lose that. That's the most precious thing you'll ever have. If, It's like going to a place you've never been before and having a road map in your hand and throwing it out the window. That's exactly what you're doing if you don't stay with it. The Bible is our road map. Don't let anything take that away. But the world, they have their own talk. They have their own look. They have their own religion. You look at how the things are going to be, the Antichrist, as the Holy Spirit points us to Christ, the Antichrist points people to Satan. The things that we're seeing move around about us, the things that you see on TV, the things that you hear, and I learned something today also, there's some ways that you can actually buy food now. You know, we've heard about fingerprints. You can identify a person like that. Do you know there's some places you can go and you put your hand down on a scanner and it'll scan your palm print, and that's how you paid for your food. You don't take nothing out of your pocket. You don't do anything like that. You take your hand and just put it down on a scanner and go get your food. If we can't see there's a conditioning going on, there is. Why those things? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It'll be so common. It'll be so easy. You see, also, and I won't get off into this too much, but I believe what you're going to see is you're going to see the political side of the Antichrist, and you're going to see the religious side. He's going to own the whole thing. All the politics, all the religion, and everybody. I mean, what you see today is being conditioned for that very thing, just conditioned for it. Second nature. This is what you see. But the world knows the world. And I like this with verse 6, and I'll close, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We'll have our objects. Verse 6, it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." Now, I like that. "He that is not of God heareth not us, whereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." What does that mean? When you know, I get excited when I hear a preacher preaching God's word. That excites me. And you know what? I can hear it. When Brother Buster was preaching and the Holy Spirit was bringing out the points through what he was saying, that got me excited. I heard what he was saying. That's how it's supposed to be. If you want to know, I read along these lines and studied along these lines, if you want to know who's with you when you're preaching God's word, they're the ones that's hearing it. But you know, there's some that come that don't, that by no fault of their own, not saved, they don't know yet. They're trying to learn. But the ones that know, and when it lands just right, they hear it. They hear it. The ones that don't want to hear it, you can see the pushback. That's how the world is. Again, it says here, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us." That pushback. He's of the world. He wants to hear what the world has to say. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That's the difference between a false prophet and the true prophet, the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist, the anti-spirit. But I hope and pray that this will help you. I believe it will help us if you really look at it and study this on your own. Go back and read it. I'll close with that tonight. But go back and read it and look at what he's saying, because as the days go on, I believe with all my heart, it's going to get harder for young people to discern things. The world is appealing in its own right. And if friends are doing it, I want to fit in with friends. I want to stay with what they're doing, look like they're looking, act like they're acting. If you're not careful, you get pulled off into that. It takes courage to stand sometimes on your own. But just know you're not really on your own. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I thank God for that promise tonight. I do appreciate your good attention. I do.